Our duty to the government. The apostle outlined the attitude that believers should sustain toward civil authorities, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing right you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Those who were servants were to remain subject to their masters, for one is approved, the apostle explained, if, mindful of God, he endures pain while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it, if when you do wrong and are beaten for it you take it patiently? But if when you do right and suffer for it you take it patiently, you have God's approval. Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted to him who judges justly. The apostle exhorted the women in the faith to be modest, let not yours be the outward adorning with braiding of hair, decoration of gold, and wearing of fine clothing, but let it be that hidden person of the heart with the imperishable jewel of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. The lesson applies in every age. In the life of the true Christian, the outward adorning is always in harmony with the inward peace and holiness. Self-denial and sacrifice will mark the Christian's life. Evidence that the taste is converted will be seen in the dress. It is right to love beauty and desire it, but God desires us to love first the highest beauty, that which is imperishable, the fine linen, white and clean, which all the holy ones of earth will wear. This apparel will make them beloved here and will be their badge of admission to the palace of the King. Looking forward to the perilous times into which the church was to enter, the apostle wrote, "Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you. Trial is to purify God's children from the dross of earthliness. It is because God is leading his children, that trying experiences come to them. Trials and obstacles are his chosen methods of discipline and the condition of success. Some people have qualifications which, if rightly directed, could be used in his work. He brings these souls into varied positions and circumstances that they may discover the defects concealed from their own knowledge. He gives them opportunity to overcome these defects. Often he permits the fires of affliction to burn, that they may be purified. God suffers no affliction to come upon his children but such as is essential for their present and eternal good. All that he brings in test and trial comes that they may gain deeper piety and greater strength to carry forward the triumphs of the cross. There had been a time when Peter was unwilling to see the cross in the work of Christ. When the Savior made known his impending sufferings and death, Peter exclaimed, "God forbid, Lord. This shall never happen to you," RSV. It was a bitter lesson, which he learned but slowly, that the path of Christ on earth lay through agony and humiliation. Now, when his once active form was bowed with the burden of years, he could write, "Beloved, rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed."